Good morning, and welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and want to thank you for listening to our program on this Sunday morning. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given our service times and meeting times at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We encourage you to come to any or all of these meetings. You will always be warmly received. This morning, we're going to conclude our discussion of the seven churches of Asia by looking at the last one of the seven churches, the church at Laodicea. This is recorded in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 22. Laodicea was located in the southern Pergia, some 60 miles southeast of Philadelphia, a large wealthy city situated on the banks of the Lycus River, 40 miles east of Ephesus, and 11 miles from Colossae. It became a great and wealthy center of industry. Banking facilities, medical school, and manufacturing were in its town, especially famous for its high-grade black wool from a breed of sheep now extinct, soft, glossy, which needed no dyeing. The city had extensive banking operations. This city was so wealthy when it was destroyed by an earthquake in AD 17, its own citizens rebuilt the city without any help from the empire treasury. Another major quake took place in 61 AD. They were self-sufficient. Laodicea was also famous for eye powder, for those with eye difficulties. When Paul wrote his letter to the Church of Colossae around 62 AD, there was a letter also in Laodicea and to the Church of Colossae. Now Paul encouraged the Church of Colossae to exchange the letter with the Church of Laodicea in Colossians 4:15 and 16. Notice that many of the churches take on the characteristics of the city in which they are located. We will see that in Laodicea. Let's read the letter beginning in verse 14 through the end of the chapter, chapter 3. Now to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Here we see that the author is described as the speaker. The Amen. This expression indicates his unchangeableness and its guarantee of the fulfillment of every word that he utters. It means he is true, certainly, and so be it, and faithful. Hebrews 13, verse 8 tells us he is unchangeable. The faithful and true witness. A witness must have personal knowledge. His knowledge is reliable. John 8, 13 and 14. Faithful, he is trustworthy. True, he is an ideal of a perfect witness. Witness. Jesus was privy to the actual conditions of this church. Note, why the description? It's going to be quite different than how they perceive themselves to be. Could it be he's showing the truth of his testimony by using these descriptions? The beginning of the creation of God. Beginning, as it's used here, A-R-C-H-E in the Greek, which means origin or source. It is through our Lord that the world was created. Read Colossians 1, verse 15 through 17. John's Gospel teaches the same truth in the first three verses, John 1, 1 through 3, and we read that in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 2. One God used to work the creation. Note, the Jehovah's Witnesses are 100% incorrect when they try to affirm that this verse implies that Jesus simply was the first creature created by God, a position which denies the deity and the divine nature of Christ Jesus. The Gospel of John alone will prove that conclusion is false. This church had no good works. works of condemnation, problems that this church had. Thou art neither cold nor hot. Cold, one completely untouched by the power of the grace, or one has ceased to follow it completely. Hot, he's active, he's fervent, he's zealous. Romans chapter 12, verse 11 talks about fervency, and that means to be on fire, looking to do more. He says they were neither. They were lukewarm. They were neither cold nor hot. Mindful of God's existence, being obedient to the first principles of the oracles of God, some interest in spiritual matters, enough that the church was still functioning, at least going through the motions of worship and work of serving the Lord. Lukewarm was their true condition. The condition of a soul wretchedly fluctuating between torpor and fervor of love. In the heart of a lukewarm Christian, there is listlessness, apathy, unconcern, and indifference. They lack the fervency of spirit that we read in Romans 12:11. They lack zeal, as Titus 2, verse 14 commends us to have zeal for good works. In brief, the sorry state was they were indifferent. Can a church effectively serve in such a capacity? No commitment, they are doomed to fail. No loyalty or steadfastness is exhibited, it can be of no value. And God describes them as such. They are wretched in verse 17. This was their true state before God. It was far from the high opinion that they had of themselves. They were miserable, pitiful sight, a condition fitted to those who excite pity and compassion. Used by Paul to describe those who have hope in Christ, extend no farther than this world, 1 Corinthians 15:19. Maybe we could say they had just enough religion to make them miserable, but not enough to save their souls. Kind of sounds like the condition of many today. And they were poor. This word describes one who is completely destitute. Even though they were materially had gain and security, they were poor. Of the true heavenly treasure, spiritually they were destitute. Opposite of the church in Smyrna, they had poverty, but they were rich. This church was rich, but they were poor. Lived in a prosperous city, they thought they were rich. Unfortunately, they were incorrect. They were blind. What that means is they lacked insight to their church condition. Blind to the real dangers that were before them. Blind to their own blindness, like those in 2 Peter 1, verse 9. They were short-sighted, and they had forgotten what they had been called to do, and that they were purged from their old sins. One always needs a clearness of spiritual vision in their lives in order to live faithfully. They were naked. They were not properly attired before God. Might have been the best-dressed people physically, but not spiritually. Bereft of the garments that should adorn the children of God. Read Titus chapter 2 and verse 10. I want you to notice in their description that they were just completely the opposite of what they thought in their mind. That these people were just going through the motions. They had no real zeal. They had no commitment. They had no determination. They had no zeal for God. Such a congregation of people can do nothing that will benefit the Lord or His cause. The possible reason for this deplorable condition, and there's some lessons here for all of us. Not one word of criticism against their doctrine, their organization. Many probably considered them a sound church along with themselves, as we read earlier. Enough religion or appearance to lull themselves to sleep. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, we're commanded to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. Wealth and material gain have been more important and appreciated than growth of spiritual matters. Better than growing in the Christian graces that we are commanded to grow in 2 Peter 1, 5-9. Perhaps more concerned about their standing in the eyes of the city and of the brotherhood than with God. Too many churches today are just keeping house. More honorable and honest to be cold than to play the part of the hypocrite. Hypocrisy is devastating to God. Lukewarmness gives the appearance of righteousness, leading others to follow the same example of depressed Christianity. They deceive the honest hearts, but more importantly, they had deceived themselves. Their deplorable condition was because they had a different understanding of what true wealth was. The threatened punishment. God says that He wished they were cold or hot. Why does the Lord prefer coldness to lukewarmness? More honestly, easily to deal with that than others to see. No disguise or deceiving is simple. cold are easier to convert. Lukewarm folks do not see the need for change. The true condition is never realized. Lukewarmness does much more than harm the cold. What good ever came from an indifference or apathy or apathetic attitudes? Nothing. I will spew you out of my mouth. Can one fall from grace? Paul said you couldn't, Galatians 4, verse 5. Few means to literally to vomit, to throw up, to reject with extreme disgust. An emotion nowhere else given to the Lord. Denotes the offensiveness of lukewarmness. Nothing worse than a corpse in a religious cloak. It's phony, it's hypocritical, it's dangerous, and it causes others to be lost in the same deception. What's the divine remedy? What's the divine remedy? He counseled them to buy gold refined in fire. To buy means to make a purchase, to be made from the Lord. Only the Lord can give us real treasures of wisdom and knowledge, Colossians 2 and verse 3. Christ can only give the things needed spiritually. All saints is a sort of building material in the temple of God. Each are tried by fire of adversity and trial of various sorts, 1 Peter 1 verse 3 through 7. To show true character before God and the riches in spiritual matters, we must be refined through the fires of difficulty. White garments that you may be clothed might be contrasted between the beautiful garments of the body that were made in Laodicea by the world produced. Emphasis needed to be on the inward man, not the outer man, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16. This church, due to the city in which they live, could well afford the expensive garments, yet he saw them with shame and naked because they were that way spiritually. They needed to anoint their eyes with salve that they might see. Laodicea was famous for her Pergamum powder for eye problems and weak eyes. What these brethren needed was the healing of spiritual blindness. Lulled to sleep by prosperity and plenty, and they become self-deceived. They needed to be awake to the true picture that they painted before the Lord. They need to be zealous and repent according to verse 19. No matter how others look upon her, her conditions with God would not be tolerated. This attitude is offensive to the Lord, and it must be corrected, or there will be dire consequences. The plea in verse 20 and 21 with warmth and love is being demonstrated. Even these lukewarm brethren were given an opportunity to receive forgiveness if they would change. As many as I rebuke, I chasten. He chastens us because he loves us. Read Hebrews 12, 5 through 10. He stands at the door and knocks. Here is Christ driven out by indifference, is actually portrayed as standing at the door of their hearts and pleading with them to open. He never rejects the coming home of the erring child. Oh, what love that demonstrates. If anyone hears, they need to open the door. If one will open, that's the conditional if, then he will come in. Language used here to suggest sweet fellowship with the Redeemer will be returned to what it once was. To overcome, he will let him sit on the throne with him. What an amazing and wonderful promise, and God will deliver on such a promise. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laodicea truly depicts many in our day and time. Churches who are nothing more than going through the motions, have indifference and apathy, and no fervor, and no zeal, and no commitment to God. Dear listener, do you belong to such a church? Are you part of the problem, or are you part of the solution? May God help us to never have an indifferent attitude towards truth, commitment, and zeal, and fervency in doing the Lord's will. May we strive to always see ourselves as God sees us, because in the end, dear listener, that's the one that's going to determine where we spend eternity. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next Sunday.